Now, listen to this. Prog rockers everywhere. Do you recognise this music? That's from an album called Nursery Crime. It's Genesis and Return of the Giant Hogweed. And it appears it has returned around Warrington. And a man who knows far more about it than me is my guest this afternoon, Pete Warren. Hello, Pete.
Hi, Nick.
The Giant Hogweed. I just thought that was a plant made up for a song by Genesis, but no.
No, there is such a thing. Yeah, it's
quite
an invasive plant from Asia. And it was brought over in the Victorian times. Because it's so vast, it grows up to about 20 feet tall at its maximum.
Wow.
And it's everywhere now because I brought it over a few hundred years ago. There's lots of it, and there's lots on the eyes in Warrington.
Yes.
And it just looks alien from everything else that's around it, because you've got your normal bushes and stuff like that, and you've got these things just towering over the bog and stuff like that. It's very creepy.
Apart from the fact it doesn't move around, it is a bit like a triffid, then, is it? It's a huge plant.
Yeah. It's got stems about 6 inches wide. Its foliage can be a metre across. It's huge, yeah.
So this inspired you to write a book?
Called They Grow Upon the Eyes.
Yes. And when I was first reading this, I thought it was something to do with an optician. But not. It's an area of Warrington down by the Mersey.
It's an area of Warrington, yeah.
The eyes formed by the serpentine shape of the river, I presume. Is that right?
Yeah, it's when they're digging it out, put a lot of muck and slurry they got from digging out the Manchester Canal. They just put it onto this place. They call it Wolston Eyes. It's now a nature reserve because nothing grows there apart from birds and wildlife and stuff.
So what inspired you to come up with this story? Was it a walk around that area?
It was, because I used to live right near it, back in Latchford, and I've got two dogs. I took my dogs on there, and I was walking across right the centre of it with my dad. And my dad said, "Oh, is that Japanese knotweed?" He thought it was Japanese knotweed, and it was so big, I was quite intrigued what it was, so I went home, got on Google, find out what it was, find out it was the giant hogweed instead, and at that point I just had an idea, one line in my head. I think it appears in chapter 70 in the first book, and the whole story was just came from there, really, just this one line. But I can't tell you what it is, just in case.
No.
A bit of a spoiler.
No. But that has spawned a trilogy of books.
It has, yes, yeah.
So I don't understand how you get an imagination like that. People like, you know, the Harry Potter lady, J.K. Rowling, who says all the books kind of came to her in a flash. Was it a similar sort of thing for yourself?
Kind of, probably not the whole trilogy, but certain aspects of it, because when you come up with an idea and you start piecing things around it, things that could link with it as well. And I suffer with mild asthma anyway. And I managed to link the hogweed with the rise in asthma over the last 50 years. And there's a couple of grizzly murders as well. Managed to link all these together. And a Manchester inspector goes and finds a link between all those three things. And a struggling pharmaceutical company who've claimed to have discovered the cure for asthma. And then just... I've always had an active imagination, as my mother would attain to.
So if you live in the Northwest, will you be able to reference parts of the... I mean, are there locations in the Northwest in the book?
Yes, there are, yes. Well, there's the eyes themselves. Rixdenall Hall is in book three. Chester City Centre as well, that's in it. Manchester Airport, Manchester Library as well. And there's other places like Birmingham New Street Stations the Clifton Suspension Bridge down in Bristol as well.
Yeah.
That was an interesting point, that one, actually, because I had this scene where the heroes are going down to Bristol and I needed them to take a certain road, and then I didn't know really what was down there, so I ended up doing a recce, going down there myself, and just went down the wrong road, ended up on the Clifton Suspension Bridge, and I thought, that's got to be in it.
Yeah.
It was just as simple as that, really. And then suddenly this action scene came together by trying to get over the Clifton Suspension Bridge, waiting in the queue, desperately trying to find my 12p for the toll across there. And I just had this idea on top of the original idea that I had. So that's in as well, yeah.
So when did you first start getting the original sort of ideas for this? Has there always been a story in your mind that you thought, you know?
No.
And then you, no. No.
It was that walk, it really across, was. That walk across the eyes with my dad, yeah. I mean, I've written lots of stuff before, but it was just that spark of an idea to set it off. And it's just this one line that I thought of. You can email me later if you want to know what that line is.
you tease.
And then it just went, off from there. Yeah.
So that's the trilogy. That's done now. Are you working on anything new?
Yes. It's a conspiracy theory style book.
Oh.
All about heart attacks. Very cheery.
They're all kind of medical based then, are they? Is there something
Well, these two are. I've got another one as well. I've started, but I'm going to concentrate on the heart attack one now. But the other one is one man's search for his pot of gold.
Oh, right.
So that would be a few years yet, though. So.
He's not a leprechaun.
No.
He's not a leprechaun. No, right. So, and it's not at the end of a rainbow. I don't want to. Don't spoil the ending.
No.
It's not. No. But the Eyes trilogy, what actually are the books in the trilogy?
The first book is They Grow Upon the Eyes.
Yeah.
The second book is The Doom of the Hollow. And the third one, which came out November, is The Unforeseen Children of Olive Shipley.
Right.
Mouthful there.
Yeah. Olive Shipley. Now, that's quite a name. Did you conjure that name up yourself? Or?
I did, yeah. Yeah.
It's not based on anyone you know.
No, it isn't. No,
no.
It's all about the people in the book, and so it goes back into family history and stuff like that. And there's some sinister secret from this pharmaceutical company, and it's all revolved around the Shipley family and things like that.
Right, fascinating. I noticed that prior to doing this, you've done all sorts of stuff. You've been a music reviewer, haven't you?
Yes.
That sounds like a great job.
I did it for about 3.5 to 4 years. Just did it for a couple of websites. Can I mention the websites?
Of course you can.
Room13.com and metalreviews.com as well. Did about 400 reviews, live reviews, articles, news, interviews as well.
Yeah.
Met a couple of my favourite bands on there as well, Opeth and Arch Enemy. Really the heavier sound of side of music.
Oh, yeah, they're my favourites. Imagine that. Yeah. Didn't they cover a Dooley's song once? No.
Well, I did that for 3.5, 4 years, and I learned quite a lot, especially on meeting deadlines and writing to, you have to do a certain number of words, so, you know, that I learned quite a lot doing that. And it was towards the tail end of me those 3.5 years that I came up with this story, and then I thought I can't do both.
Yeah.
So I dropped the music and music reviewing and started doing the They Grow Upon the Eyes.
Yeah. And had you done short stories prior to that, or any sort of writing?
I did my first book between 96 and 1998. It's terrible. It's rubbish. I've only let one person read it. It's not very good. I thought I'd lost it, actually. I'd only made one copy.
Being self-critical?
No, I don't know.
You really think it's rubbish now?
I don't know. The story's quite interesting. I had a book launch for the Unforeseen Children of Olive Shipley in November, and people seem to like the premise. And it's all about people who have died unfairly are then assessed, and then the people who are deemed to be most worthy are brought back and given a second chance.
Ah.
Yeah, it's a comedy.
That's good.
I like it. it was all right. I don't think, from what I've learned since then, I think I probably would have take one of the characters out, and I did start going through it before I started on the third book of the trilogy, and it was just taking far too long. I wasn't really enjoying it. Maybe one day I'll go back and do it, because my mum did say, "Oh, you could be sat in a gold mine there." And I thought, well, maybe I'll get there eventually.
Possibly, yeah. So how long does it take to get a book like this published? Do you hawk it around loads of publishers, or are there easier ways of doing these sorts of things these days?
Interesting question. I did hawk the first one around a few places, and then it was taking 13 months sometimes for people to get back to you. You send them 12 pages, and it takes them over a year to do. I can write a book in a year, but it takes them a year to read 12 pages.
So I can read a book in a year.
Yeah. I got a bit disillusioned with the whole thing. And what it was doing, it was stopping me from writing, because I was more concentrated on getting this other book, the first book, around. I wasn't doing anything else. So I thought, you know what, I'll just... Because I, whenever I wrote they grew up on the eyes. I thought my mum would read it, my brother would read it, yeah, and my mate Terry would read it, and that would be it. And it just started, people started reading it, and it's like getting passed on from person to person. They're going, you got to read this, you know, it's really good. And suddenly I started getting these this fan base. It's crazy, people say it was really good. And I just still find it a bit overwhelming, people say how good it is. And then, yeah.
Along came the others.
No, yeah, along came the others. Yeah. So the main thing was just to get the work out there. So I did a few copies, get them off the internet, and yeah, you know, give them around to people. And then it just started building up from there. And then as soon as I did that, I started writing again. So the second one was coming, because people were reading the first one, yes, and saying, oh, you got to write a sequel. When's the sequel coming? Because I wasn't going to do the sequel.
That must be quite a pressure, though, mustn't it? Come up with a sequel.
Oh, God, yeah. it was terrible.
Especially, I mean, as it appears that everyone loved the first one anyway. Yeah. And then, so you've got to match that. It's got to be actually better than the first one, really, hasn't it?
It has, yeah. And I went for writing, I went to writing classes as well.
Would you recommend that?
Yes, I would.
Yeah.
Any budding authors out there, you can have writing classes. Can't tell you what to write, but because the idea's got to come from you, but they can teach you the mechanics of writing, the do's and don'ts, basically. And I learned so much in about, I think, within for 18 months of writing classes. It was really good, and you get some really good feedback. Mm. Some of it's soul destroying, but you need that. Yeah. You need your soul destroying several times for you to learn, because sometimes
otherwise you just write rubbish, I suppose.
Yeah. Mm. So the second book, The Doom of the Hollow, it probably be the most important thing I'll ever write. Well, probably won't be the most successful, but it was an amalgamation of what I'd learnt. There's the pressure of following it on and make it interesting,
yeah,
from the first one. And it showed that, yeah, I can do it. I can do it again.
So that's, writing is not your full-time occupation, though, is it?
No.
So would you like it to be?
Yeah, I'd love it to be. Yeah, I'm a kind of a realist. I just write because I enjoy it.
Mm.
Whether my next book sells one or 10,
yeah,
100, it doesn't matter. I'd still write it anyway. I just love it. When you're in the zone, if anybody creative knows that if you're in the zone,
you've come to the wrong place for that.
It's a fantastic feeling, because away you go. You know, sometimes 3 hours can go past and it's 2 a.m. in the morning. Yeah. You're still there. I was up to 3:30 in the morning finishing off Doom of the Hollow. I couldn't go to bed. I had to finish it off. What a buzz when you get in there.
It must be, yes. So where are these books available? Can you get them in bookshops, or are they online?
You can get the Kindle versions on the Amazon.
Yeah.
And you can get the paperbacks from my website.
Website? Yes, of course.
www.theygrowuponthereyes.com. And there's a web shop on there. It's free delivery at the moment between Britain and Europe.
Salesman. Yeah. But if you just put Pete Worrell into a well-known search engine, I'm sure it'll take you in that direction.
Yeah.
Lovely.
And also the first one is an audiobook as well.
Right.
I turned that into an audiobook. That's a story in itself.
Have you read it, or have you got someone?
No, I hired a guy called Mark Pitts from America. He's British born, but he lives over in America. It took him 3 months, but he's managed to do it. And I love audiobooks, I must admit. Yeah. I don't always get time to read. So
great on a long journey.
Yeah, that's why I get him, yeah. And he was the... After quite a search, I managed to find this guy. And he just managed to click with the material, managed to understand what I was trying to do with the characters, because all the characters are very down to earth, and does all the regional accents as well. It's quite fun.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
So you found a new Stephen Fry then, haven't you?
Possibly, yeah. There's clips of that on the YouTube as well, and that's available for download from Amazon and the iTunes as well.
Great. Well, continued success. Hopefully you can give up working at daytime.
That'd be great.
Yeah, and get knock out another trilogy there. Pete Worrell, put his name into any search engine and it'll take you towards the Eyes trilogy and more. Good luck to you, Pete. Thank you so much for coming in this afternoon.
Thanks for inviting me.
I hope you've got a book to listen to on the way home.
I've got some Sherlock Holmes.
There you go. So we'll find out how the road... It is Warrington, is it you live?
It is, yeah.
It is Warrington. We'll find out what's going on between here and Warrington, I'm sure. From Marie now.
Travel, BBC Radio Merseyside.
And here she is.
You're all right if you're heading...